Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, and we also like spooky things. And we really, really like self-care philosophers. Jam band. We should make a career out of that.
We should. I think we're good at it.
Speaking of that...
Segwaying onto something totally not the same connected. Or relevant.
I'm just trying to connect with you.
Okay, sorry.
What did you do this week for self-care?
This week for self-care. Well, it's not really like self-care, but I just want to like share the news. Ooh. I got to hang out with my whole fam today and basically announced to them that I am Pregnarnar.
Yay! I cried because I was really excited, and I have emotions.
Well, I think that's valid. A lot of people will cry.
I was so excited.
Yeah.
Well, I knew it was coming. We've talked about it how many times? Like a million times.
Yeah.
And we, like, I knew it was coming this year. Like, we've talked about
it. Yeah, this is the year.
Yeah.
33.
The year of the baby.
The baby. Yeah, so basically I, like, gave everyone little gifts. You were, like, the first one that got it because everyone else was like, what?
And oh, when immediately when you were grabbing gifts, I was like, oh, because I've been down this road.
Yeah.
I've been down this road at least three times.
Yeah,
but I was like, immediately like, oh, she's telling us that she's pregnant.
Pregnarnar. And so
but I didn't want to spoil it because I would have been like, because when you're like, I have to go to the car. Like when you walked up with gifts, I was about to be like, oh, because you're pregnant.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to screw it up because I was like, they need the excitement.
So yeah, I gave my brothers all Funkle shirts and then I gave... the girlfriends, auntie, like, it's like a Morse code bracelet
right now, I love it.
That, like, codes out to aunt. And then I gave Adana a grandma mug.
Yeah, I was freaking out because I'm excited.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised, but excited.
I've been, like, dying inside to tell you guys.
I know.
Because I'm terrible at secrets.
We were supposed to record... Like 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
But it was my first appointment, and I was like,
and Danae was like,
I knew I was going to spill the fucking beans if you came over because I was so excited.
I would have kept the secret if you did.
I know, but I wanted it to be like everyone found out at once.
But I was like, food poisoning. I also like almost was about to be like, are you sure you're not pregnant? I almost said that. And then I was like, don't be mean, Kim.
Don't be rude.
Because I don't want you to be like, no, I'm not pregnant, asshole. Like,
no.
But I'm so excited.
Yeah, so it was, like, exciting kind of, like, planning how we were going to tell everyone and then, like...
Do you want to share the due date?
Doing it. Yeah, January 22nd. A little craze, baby. So, yeah, that was my exciting news. I feel, like, better now that it's all just, like, out in the open and I don't have to keep, like, hiding why I'm not drinking.
I don't feel like I was pressury, but I also...
But I was running out of excuses.
Well, I just thought
and
you were
literally
like
everyone who knows me, like who like Steven's family, his I mean, I guess my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they were like, "Oh, you didn't order a margarita at lunch while we're out here visiting?" Cuz like I'm usually the first one that's like, "Let's drink."
Yeah, you are.
And yeah,
and I'm like, "Let's not be coy about
let's
this.
Be real. Like, yeah, I'm always like down to drink."
There's
so.
Been times where I'm not drinking and you're like, "Kim, order a fucking drink.
We're drinking.
Yeah. We're drinking now. Order it."
Yeah. So that's how people knew.
Well, we'll be having a lot of rosé, like, when you're able to drink. But we'll do the fake rosé for now.
Fake rosé for now. Or the fake IPAs, because those are, like, pretty good dupes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried, like, Keith grabbed one, and I tried it, and it was
pretty delicious.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
It tasted, I mean, definitely, like, you can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
That's what the important part is, that it tastes like.
That it tastes like it, and that I feel included.
Yeah. We're not like, that's embarrassing.
Yeah. I'll have some grape juice. Ew.
Don't mind me.
I actually hate grape juice.
I do too. It's so gross.
Okay, sorry. So what did you do?
It wasn't, like, something I did, but just something really exciting.
Okay.
I mean, not as exciting as a fucking baby. I'm so excited for you. But the Nuggets!
Oh, yeah, the Nuggets won, like, a champion.
The same day we were, like, at the Thrice sports concert, ball game. But I was, like, Thrice, and then... Yeah, and it's really exciting because, you know, my sister was a dancer for them for a while, so she was just excited, and that made me excited. Because I've been to so many Broncos. Nuggets games. I'm really excited for football season, sorry.
Well... But it's been, what did they say, like 47 years
and they've never won.
We've never won.
Never won, yeah.
Like, that's kind of embarrassing, but, like, you know.
It's really, yeah.
Good for us, we did it.
I know, finally.
We being, you know, the professional basketball players.
Well, we're in Denver, so we did it too.
You know, it was really my spirit that I think led the way for the Nuggets.
That's actually what they said in their speech. They're like, Danae's spirit
her enthusiasm. And
excitement for any sport.
Her constant support. It really was a bright light.
Yeah.
And like, that's how they won.
Our MVP meant nothing. It was Danae's spirit that carried us through.
They got a lot of touchdowns, and they did it. I'm just kidding.
Touchdown Nuggets.
Touchdown Nuggets.
Oh, my God. But, okay. Yeah, that was really exciting. That was, like...
Did you see how crazy everyone was, too? Like, yeah, driving home?
We were downtown,
and
right?
People were, like, honking, just, like, all, like, just driving down the street, just, like, honk, 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 honk,
I'm just
honk,
sad
honk.
I didn't get to post another picture of me sweeping, because they didn't sweep them. There was, like, one game they lost, but, like, we knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Like, they were killing it. I was more nervous about the LA Lakers game. But, yeah, I'm super excited for Denver.
It was crazy, too. Did you see the videos of people, like...
climbing light poles?
Yes!
Yeah!
And, like, hanging off of them and stuff. I was like,
and
if
then they, like,
I would have seen
in
that...
the crowd, I would have gone to the side.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm not picking. Like,
no. Just looking at that crowd of people stressed me the fuck out. I was like, oh, no.
Because you didn't...
And there was a shooting.
Of course there fucking was.
Fucking people.
I don't know. It scares me because, like, at the Avs game, the one thing that made me feel better because we went to the thing across the street. I know it's Avs, but this is, like...
Yeah, it's sports.
Yeah. Anyways, but the Avs were in the... And they had... the stadium had the college across, and we were just in the field from the college. And they had people, snipers, standing on top of,
like,
buildings.
Like, DU?
No, at the Raria campus.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they had snipers standing on top of buildings, and that honestly made me feel... It shouldn't, but it made me feel safe, because it was, like, police snipers.
But it's also, like, scary that it's, like...
It has to be
You
that
take
way.
Something that's, like, a happy, fun event...
Yeah.
...that people are celebrating, and you fucking ruin it by just being a dick.
Yeah. It's...
Like, why?
It's insane.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was just, like, that made me nervous, those videos, because I'm, like, you know there's not police, like, standing making sure people are safe.
Oh, God, no.
So, yeah, that was really exciting thing, but, like, ugh, yeah, I didn't know there was that, too, but
yeah.
I'm not surprised, because people are crazy.
Because America, that's what happens here.
Literally.
Every day.
But yay, Nuggets.
Yay!
All right, so what are you going to be telling me about?
So, I am telling you a survival story today.
I love survivor stories.
About the Orphan of the Sea.
I do not fucking know what you're talking about at all.
I've never heard of this before.
I'm so excited.
This is the story of Terry Jo Duperrault and how she was a lone survivor of basically a murdering of multiple people. And it's kind of crazy. So I never heard of this, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I've never even kind of heard of that.
I was searching on allthat'sinteresting.com because I love
our
that
favorite.
Site.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I came across this story. So I have an All That's Interesting article. I have...
Don't you love reading an article and you're like, that's it. That's the story
that's
I'm going to
tell
one. This week.
That yeah. is the one.
Love it.
So I've also got a article from Reader's Digest. And I'm going to put all these in the show notes and stuff. And then I watched a YouTube video about this.
Okay.
And I also have a Wikipedia article about the ship called the Bluebell. So I'll notate all of those with more details.
Yeah.
Authors.
I mean, that's kind of what we do in show notes. Like, it's good to talk about the sources, but also, like, we make sure they're included in everything, too. So,
because we want to give credit.
Yeah.
So, let me take you to 1961. The year my mother was born.
The 60s off. I remember them.
Wild child like they were flower yesterday. Days. Drugs and music and love.
Woodstock.
Anyways, we've painted you a picture of the 60s. So, this dude named Arthur Duperrault, he was a doctor. He decides that he wants to take a family trip and go on a boat, like a yacht, from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to the Bahamas.
How long of a boat trip would that be?
This was only like a week or so. This was not a long... Actually, they were only 4 days in.
So it's a week to get to the Bahamas?
It was... They left on November 8th, and then they decided to come back on the 12th.
Okay, so they had made it to the Bahamas, and they were coming back.
Yeah.
Okay, I was it's probably four days to sail there?
About a week, maybe 8 days. I'm not really sure how fast they went, or like if they kind of...
I, too, would
dilly-dallied along the way
to the Bahamas.
I don't know. So, Arthur knows this guy named Captain Julian Harvey. He's a friend of Arthur's. He's also a former World War II fighter pilot. But he also knows how to, like, captain a boat.
Okay.
So, he's got this yacht. It's called the Bluebell. And Arthur basically hires him to be the captain for this trip to take his family. And Julian also brings his wife. So Julian brings his wife, Mary Dean. And then Arthur brings his family, which is his wife, Jean. And then his kids, Brian, who's 14.
Okay.
Terry Jo, who's 11. And Renee, who is 7. So it's just like a fun little fam trip. They're going to like snorkel. They're going to go to some beaches. They're going to explore some different islands in the Bahamas and just like have a fun little private boat ride.
I think I know the story. This is nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So they head out on November 8th. Like I said, they leave from Fort Lauderdale. They're just exploring the Bahamas. They're enjoying their fam trip.
Yeah.
And then by November 12th, they're like, all right, let's head back home. So they start the journey back until some shit hits the roof. So on the evening of November 12th.
What is the... Do they talk about the temperature? Like, I mean, I guess it's probably pretty warm because it's like that area.
Yeah, they're like snorkeling and shit.
Was it like rainy or anything?
No, not that I'm aware of. Okay. No, not that they said.
They mention or anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so basically, November 12th, some shit hits the fan. And I'll come back to, like, the whole story of, like, what happened.
Yeah.
But November 13th, Julian is found in the ocean on a dinghy and is saved by a boat called the Gulf Lion.
Is Julian again?
I don't know. He's old. He's Arthur's age, so probably, like, in his 40s or something.
Okay, I didn't know if it was one of the kids because I, like, forgot the
names. Oh, no. Okay. Julian is the captain of the Bluebell.
Okay.
So he is out in the middle of the ocean. He's on a dinghy. This boat called the Gulf Lion spots him. And they're like, holy shit, are you okay? And he's like, no, I am the sole survivor of a shipwreck. Everyone is dead. It's only me. I'm the only one who managed to get on the dinghy in time. So they're like, cool.
We'll save you.
Pull you aboard. And they just kind of like go with it, right? Like, I mean, they don't really have anything to question, because why would you?
Well, he's on the dinghy. Obviously, he's been through something pretty awful.
Pretty scary, yeah. Right? So I'm just going to say this up front. He's a lying fucking liar.
Yeah.
So as they're kind of like, where did you crash? Like, do you know what I don't know, the coordinates were, whatever the fuck.
And he mentions that he's the captain, so he should know all this information.
He should know.
Okay.
So then he tells them kind of the whereabouts of where it all went down, and then rescue missions are sent out to where the ship supposedly wrecked.
In case no one is found. Oh, shit. Okay.
So basically, he's kind of, like, taken into questioning with police. He's telling the story of, like...
Are they getting the vibe that he is dishonest?
No.
Or they're like, oh, no, you
poor
thing. Okay.
Not at all.
Well, because when you said police were questioned, I was like, oh.
Well, I mean, they had to bring him in to, like, do statements
or
whatever.
Sure, sure.
And so, basically, they're kind of, like, questioning him, like, what happened? You know, this is a horrible event. Like, we need the deets. So, he claimed that the yacht had broken down while he was on the dinghy for some reason, and then it sunk and everyone went down with it. That was one version. Their sources were a little bit varying.
Yeah, I've seen that in some stories where they tell you one thing and then another one.
And then it's
one.
Like a kind of different story. Yeah. So the other version, which was in the documentary, he stated that the Bluebell ship was hit by a squall, which is a sudden gust of violent wind. And the mast came
down.
That's
why I was asking if there was, like, weird weather.
Yeah. I don't know if they ever confirmed the weather thing.
Okay.
Or whatever. But also, it's, like, the ocean. So, like, sure, a huge gust of wind could come
at
any moment,
right?
For sure. Yeah,
that's common.
And so he said that the mast basically, like, came down. And then he abandoned the ship. And I guess didn't think to fucking, like, even save anyone else, or, like, there wasn't enough time.
Yeah, there's children on board. Fuck
and his wife.
Yeah.
Like, sir.
That's what I do all the time.
So,
I'm like, oh, something wrong's happening? Fuck the dogs and Keith.
I'm leaving.
Yeah,
like okay. So, it's kind of a weird variance of somehow it sunk, and then also, like, maybe the mast came down, but, like, also, I feel like it takes a while for boats to sink. I mean, it's not going to be, like, a quick, like, right away it's sunk, right?
Well, if it's, like, the Titanic, it took,
It took, like, 2 hours or so.
It took 2 hours. It took the length of the movie, which I thought was kind of cool that James Cameron
did really?
That.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So, when you're watching the movie, that's how long it took it to sink.
Right.
Sorry, fun fact, but it does not sink right away, unless there's, like, a big hole in it and it's a small boat.
Right, so I don't know. I feel like there would still be time to kind of be like, oh, no, and even if it did go down, you're still in the water, maybe, like, treading or something. You could, like, swim over to the dinghy. I don't know. It seemed weird.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, so rescue missions are sent out. No one's found.
What year was this again?
1961.
Okay. Okay, the early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So everyone's thinking, you know, oh my god, this is just a tragedy, whatever. Until...
Oh no, what happens?
November 17th. A few days later, Julian was again being interrogated by police, getting his story straight, whatever. And one of the... I'm not sure if it was a police officer or if it was just, like, someone who worked at the police station.
Either way, yeah.
Comes in and they're like, oh my god, there's a survivor. They found a survivor. And so he starts to get a little antsy and he's like,
oh, that's great.
Oh my god, that's amazing. Who is it?
I need to go.
And they're like, it's a little girl named Terry Jo. And he's like,
the 7-year-old?
Fun! I love it.
Yeah.
No, the 11-year-old.
Okay, 11-year-old.
So he starts getting a little squirrely, and he's like, anyways, I gotta go.
And if everything's fine, he would be like, let me see her. Oh my god.
Exactly.
Like, any normal person would be like, oh my god, she survived!
So his behavior shifts a bit, his attitude gets a little bit strange, like, it's a noticeable difference in his demeanor.
And they're like, that's...
Noted.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's not being charged for anything at this point.
Sure.
Or
they're just
whatever.
Trying to figure out what happened.
In their mind, there's, like, no crime.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, you know, I gotta go. And he leaves.
Okay.
Just, like, bails the fuck out of there.
Interesting.
Yeah. So upon finding out this information that there was another survivor, he leaves his interview and he drives to the Sandman Motel where he took his own life. He had...
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. So he had gone to this motel room. He slit his thigh, ankle, and throat with a double-edged razor, bled out, so the housekeepers find him, And then the police are like, what?
So nice to do to housekeepers.
But asshole. Like, what the hell? So they're like, well, now he's dead. We don't have any more answers from him. Like, that's sketch. So yeah, it's kind of like, what is happening?
Yeah.
So let's go to, let's go back. Let's rewind to the evening of November 12th.
The one in question where everything went fucking.
So, by the way, she was found on the 16th. Dude found out on the 17th. And then on the 18th, he took his own life. And on the 20th, Terry Jo finally kind of, like, wakes up. Because she was, like, near a coma.
I'm sure.
Like, she was exhausted. And she probably survived was in ICU.
Crazy circumstances.
Yeah. So on November 20th, she details her account of what had happened on the day that she was essentially left at sea to die. So we'll go back to November 12th.
Okay.
8 days prior. Terry Jo was down below deck, fast asleep, when she heard her brother screaming. She heard the words, "Help, Daddy, help."
And the brother is the 7-year-old?
Brother is 14.
14. Okay. 14, 11, 7.
She's
Sorry.
The middle.
Okay.
So Brian is 14, Terry Jo's 11, and her little sister Renee is 7.
Okay. Okay.
So she hears her brother Brian screaming. She hears, like, some stamping around. She hears, like, a whole bunch of noises upstairs.
Yeah, what the fuck's going
on? And she's, like, completely woken up, and she's like, what the hell? So she goes upstairs.
Is she by herself sleeping?
Yeah, I guess she was down there on her own and everyone else was upstairs for some reason.
Okay, interesting. I'm
not really sure what the logistics of that was.
Yeah.
Or if, like, maybe she had a different room than her siblings. Yeah. I don't really know.
I don't know why, but I'm like, why weren't they sleeping in the same room? But,
right?
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, she hears the scuffle, she hears screams, she hears some concerning sounds, and she goes up to the main deck, to the kitchen, and she finds her brother and her mother dead in a pool of blood.
And did they find what happened to them? Why they were in a pool of the blood?
Not quite yet.
Okay.
So she is obviously freaked out. She's like, what the hell? And she goes searching for her father. But as she, you know, tries to go find him, she runs into Psycho Julian, the captain.
Yeah.
He's, like, wide-eyed, crazy-looking. Like, he's kind of panicky. And he...
Squirrely, I'm sure.
He slaps her across the face, shoves her down the ladder, and tells her to go back to her room. So, you know, she's 11, and he's an adult.
Why are you hitting a child, first and foremost?
Sure, but it's also the 60s. They probably just did that all the time.
Yeah.
But she's, you know, like, oh my God, I need... He's the authority figure. So she, you know, listens to him, and also she's probably scared as shit.
Well, yeah, you're 11. What are you going to do? No, sir!
Right. Like, where are you going to go? It's a boat.
Yeah.
So she goes down, you know, she just obeys him and goes down to her room, and she's waiting on her bed anxiously, just kind of like... wondering what's happening, hoping her family's okay. Because I don't think she, like, knew that they were dead, but they were, like, in a puddle of blood. So, like,
well,
you could
assume. Well, I'm sure she was so traumatized. She just went and was just, like, sitting there, like, what did I just see?
Yeah.
What's going on? He's this probably can't be helping. Real. Yeah.
Yeah.
It must be
an emergency, and maybe he's doing whatever he needs to do to help or whatever.
Yeah.
So she's waiting on her bed. She's, you know, trying to be a good girl and just kind of, like, keep it together and be calm.
Be brave.
And then she started noticing that there's water seeping underneath the door.
Oh, no.
So she puts two together and she's like, oh, my God, we're sinking. So she goes out of her room. She kind of, like, checks to make sure he's not around. Sneaks out of her room.
Thank God she was brave.
Or is about to sneak out of her room, rather. Yeah. When Julian comes down with a rifle and he's looking at her, or he looked at her, and then he just kind of, like, walked away. So he, like, made eye contact with her. He has this rifle, and then he just walked away. So she's kind of like, what the fuck? Like, she doesn't know what's happening. Like,
why do you need a rifle on a boat?
Yeah. So basically, Julian assumed that she would just drown, so he didn't shoot her. So he proceeds to get onto the, or he lowers the dinghy down, and then he dives into the ocean, gets on the dinghy, and just floats away. So Terry Jo is still on the boat that's starting to go down, and she remembered when they first got on the boat, you know, when they, anytime you're on a boat, they're like, and here's where the lifeboats are. You know, they do the whole, like,
safety thing. I actually listened to that because I'm like, how bad of a time would that be?
I'm not trying to get eaten by sharks.
Yeah. I'll be honest. When they're talking about, like, shit on planes, I'm like, not making sure to your girlfriend. But, like, boats.
Also, if it's a plane, like, I'm just assuming we're probably going to die. So, like, my time has come.
Yeah.
And that's how I deal with anxiety. No, I'm just kidding. I don't really have plane anxiety, but. I mean, if you're going down, you're going down. Like, what are you
going
to do?
Going down. Yeah. Sorry, we're going to the concert very soon.
I'm very excited.
But, yeah, I guess that's true. And plane and on boats, it's like you're
pretty fucked that way, too.
You're pretty fucked, but, like, at the same time, that one's more sustainable. My thing is, I would just be afraid of a shark eating me.
Me, too.
I'd rather die 100%. In a plane crash than a shark eat me, I'm saying.
Yeah. Or, like, starve to death. That would suck.
Yeah. Because it's salt water. It's going to take away your shit anyway. You're going to starve to death and, like...
Yeah, you're done for.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, so she remembered from, like, the safety talk that there was a lifeboat. So she's like, oh my god, let me go get it. She goes, it's luckily still there. And
I'm kind of surprised he didn't
think of that, right? Yeah. Being, like, the evil dickhead that
he is. But he was so crazed, I'm sure, like, he wasn't cognitively thinking that shit, you know?
So she throws her, lifeboat over, she gets in, and
I'm not trying to blame an 11-year-old. This is just my quick question. Did she try to see if any of her family members were still?
I think they were all dead at that point.
Okay. I know that's like weird.
She never saw her dad, but she saw the other three.
Okay. So she saw her younger sister, her older brother, and her mom in a pool of blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure dad was just somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm not sure where dad was. Okay, so this part's a little bit scary. So she threw the boat off, right, or the lifeboat, but the lifeboat was still tethered to the actual Bluebell.
Yeah.
So it's gonna, like, start pulling it down if she doesn't, like, quickly unravel the rope.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, like, kind of flustered and trying to, like, get the rope undone.
Yeah.
And luckily, she freed her lifeboat in time before it, like, fully pulled her down and the lifeboat with her. Or with the Bluebell. So she was like, okay, crisis averted. But just to paint you a picture of this boat, it's like the most rudimentary boat ever. It's like an inflatable, like, rim, right?
So, like, and then, we've seen in, like, Castaway, like, what he was...
Kind of, but then the bottom is just all, like, crisscross ropes. So it's not even, like, a full, like...
Okay.
Plastic bottom or something.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
So you could still be eaten by a shark.
100%. So that's my, like, and it's not comfortable, right? Like,
no.
Can you imagine sitting on ropes?
Okay, this being said, I have, yes, but also I have a chair at work that is just strings.
Ew.
It's like quartz.
No, I hate that.
It's so comfortable. It looks like, I looked at that chair and I was like,
elasticy quartz?
Kind of, but not like, I'll take a picture of it.
Yeah, that sounds
and
weird.
I can put it
on. Sounds
also,
like, you know, like, my butt would, like, fall through one of them or something. You know,
no,
like...
you would think. And it looked horrible. And I was like, that chair looks awful. It's actually so comfortable. And I don't have back pain.
Oh.
Weird, right?
Okay.
So, I'm like, as you're saying that, I'm like, that's, like, my work chair. Like, it's really strange sounding, but it's actually not uncomfortable.
Right. So she can't really, like, comfortably situate herself. So the only, like,
but
position
ropes and stuff, that shit's moving around, so you have to be, like, laying
you kind
of,
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, like, her feet are dangling off, like, her knees are resting on, like, the edge of the inflatable part, and then her back is kind of, like, against the other inflatable part, so her butt is, like, where the ropes are.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, I just can't imagine how uncomfortable that would
be. Well, I mean, like, I'm in a chair how many hours a day? Like, I get to get up and, like, go to an actual flight.
Right.
So I'm sure she was, like, stiff and just
not
moving because you don't want to fall in the water.
Totally. So, so she's on this boat and it's nighttime. So it's, like, fully dark.
Yeah.
and she's terrified because she didn't want to scream. One, because she thought that maybe Julian would come back for her and, like, makes finish total the job.
Sense. Absolutely.
Like, she doesn't know where he is. Like, she saw him float off, but, like, he could also be, like, pretty close. Behind, you know, like, her. You don't know.
And he might still have the rifle. Who knows?
Exactly. And yeah. if he hears her, like, she's done. Like, he's going to make sure that she doesn't survive. Probably jump off survive. The
dinghy and go kill her and then be like, okay.
Right. Yeah. So she's terrified. She's just, like, sitting in the dark. She's, you know, probably thinking of sharks and all the crazy things that could get you. And then also, you know, thinking about how she's alone and her family is gone.
Yeah. And I think, like, that would be such a hard thing to, like, at 11, you're like,
what?
Because first off, where's my dad? Probably dead.
Yeah.
I just saw my entire family dead. Why didn't he shoot me?
Yeah. Like, he just left her for dead, which is so weird. Yeah, so then, because her feet are kind of dangling off the edge, fish start picking at her legs. They're, like, trying to eat her. So they're, like, jumping out of the water, like, picking at her. Trying to kind of get a bite of her, basically. And she can't really do anything about it. Because, like, what are you going to do? Shift? They're going to get you either way.
Yeah.
Whether it's from underneath
or, were they, like, biting her butt, too?
I don't know if they were biting her butt, but she said in the documentary that they were, like, jumping up at her feet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's so gross.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Not, like for her. Like, I'm sure that's such a gross feeling and, like, violating when, like, something's trying to eat you.
Yeah. Like, you're literal prey.
And you're like, cool, I can't even, like, move.
Yeah. And then, not to mention, you know, then the sun starts to come out and it's burning her skin. She has no sunscreen. She has literally, like, no cover.
Protection.
Yeah.
She's like a...
She has no fresh water. And she just kind of, like, goes into survivor mode and she starts, like, looking at the horizon for ships.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be her only hope to get out of this.
Oh, she's so smart, though.
Right? But she starts drifting in and out of consciousness because she has no food. She has no water. You know, the heat is starting to get to her. And it was, like, so sad because she said that she dreamt of an airport landing strip where her parents were waiting for her.
Oh, no.
And as she's kind of, like, slipping in and out of consciousness, like, she's thinking this is, like, real. So she physically jumped out of the boat.
No!
Yeah. And then because of the cold water and, like, she's, you know, she comes to and she realizes, oh, my God, like, I'm out of the boat. So she quickly, like, gets back on and then she realizes, you know, I have to stay awake. If I allow myself to sleep or, like, start to drift off.
That's Mary Vincent, too.
That's bad news.
She said she was like, I was so sleepy. And then she's like, if you want to live, you need to get your shit together mm-hmm. and stay awake. And, like, that's awful.
Yeah. So, and another issue was that her raft was white. And the white caps of the waves kind of made her blend in.
Yeah.
Like, she was difficult to see.
Oh, I was hoping it was, like, orange or yellow, you know?
No,
like, they
right?
usually are now, which I think, like, they've learned, like, you need to make it mm-hmm. obvious.
Yeah. So she actually saw a plane overhead She saw this plane overhead.
I wonder why.
And she could literally, like, it was so close, she could read the words on the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
So she starts waving her arms around. She had a blouse on, and she took her blouse off and was, like, waving it over her head, hoping that, like, they would see the movement. And they didn't. They didn't see her at all. They just flew right over her.
Oh, and I'm sure she's wearing probably, like, a white or a blue blouse, so.
Yeah, I'm not sure what color it was, but they just couldn't see her. So, obviously, her heart sank, you know, like, they're not coming back. That could have been her only...
Hope. Yeah.
So, she's kind of at a loss. Then she sees a ship, but it's too far away.
Oh, no.
So, they don't see her. Now, it's... 4 days in, four
okay, I was
nights
about to say
in.
How many days?
November 16th, a total of 84 hours. So
not sure what's going to happen.
After a certain point, like on November 16th, like she had learned that trying to flag down boats and ships and planes and people that were looking for her, just there was no use. Like, there had been so many that had passed over her and hadn't seen her that she just stopped trying. But luckily, there was a Greek freight ship called, sorry, where is this? Called the Captain Theo.
Okay.
And the second officer in charge, Nicholas Spakadakis.
A Greek name.
It's a Greek name. There's a lot of letters. Spakadakis. I don't know. He notices that, like, there's a white little blip that he sees, right? Like,
they've told freight people that if you see something weird, it's better to just stop and make sure everything's
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So he sees something in the distance and he's like, it's not quite a white cap because it's not the same shape. It's not like moving like the waves are. So he's like, his heart is like, okay, we need to go check this out because it kind of looks like it could be a lifeboat, but I'm not sure, and better to be safe than sorry, right?
I love that, yeah.
So he, you know, takes the boat over there and he sees as they approach that it is in fact a small boat, and there's a small little blonde girl child just sitting there, and she's not even trying to wave him down either. She's just so out of it. She's so tired. She like, she's almost like in a coma. So they pull her on board.
Oh, I'm sure she's so relieved, too. And I'm sure she just goes straight to sleep.
I'm not even sure. But they, like, basically, they get her on board. She is so tired that she can only get her name out. And then she just, like, collapses from exhaustion.
Oh. So they got her water, too.
Yeah, yeah. So they immediately take her, you know, to shore. They get her to a hospital. She's in ICU. And it's kind of like breaking news. Like, everyone is like, oh my God, there's another survivor. She's been found. And then, like, there's like, she's like front page news. Like,
yeah.
And she's, her lips are swollen. She's sunburnt. She's just like, I felt so bad, like, looking at the pictures.
Yeah, absolutely.
So she's safe. She's in the hospital. And then they just eventually, like, kind of wait a few days for her to come to and to be healthy enough, aware enough, and, like, you know, ready to kind of tell her story of what happened.
I like that they did that too. They weren't like, oh, you're exhausted and you're probably hallucinating, tell us what happened.
Right. So yeah, then she told them their story.
And she was in Greece probably when this was happening?
No, this was somewhere on their route, I guess, like somewhere near the Bahamas.
Okay.
I don't know why there was a Greek freight. I don't know.
Okay, when you said they went to shore, probably, like, yeah.
Somewhere yeah, they went to shore in the U.S., so they were, I think they came back to, like, Florida or something. So, yeah, she tells the story, and then police start looking into Captain Julian.
And here's my question. At this point, he had committed suicide, correct?
At this point, yes.
So they don't
Day after she was found, after he heard the news that Terry Jo was safe and alive, he had taken his own life.
God, how frustrating.
Right?
Because you want to know why.
Well, exactly. So then they start looking into him and they're like, why, you know, what's the motive here?
Yeah.
Why would you kill a whole family and potentially or leave them, you know?
Yeah.
Leave them to
what
go.
What were you gaining from this?
But based on her account, her family was dead and in a pool of blood. So, like, that kind of leaves him as, like, a major fucking suspect. What's his motive? So, turns out, Julian had a history of insurance fraud. He had crashed boats, planes, a whole bunch of shit, and basically got paid out under the guise of, like, life insurance, but it was an accident. So then he, accident in quotes, he made it seem like an accident
the insurance company so he could get a little bit of money
would be paid out.
So gross.
Also, his ex-wife had died in a car accident. Suspicious as fuck. Turns out Julian basically, for what they could, like, piece together, he was fraudulent. He had gotten life insurance from when his wife had died in her car accident. He had gotten money from when his boats and planes had crashed. So the motive is money. And what they think happened was that basically he had been trying to kill his wife, Mary Dean, on this boat trip. I don't know why you would choose when there's a whole bunch of other fucking people around, but that's kind of what they've come to the conclusion.
Divorce your wife.
Right. But he wanted that money. So he had a life insurance policy on her that was like $20,000, like not a lot. And
imagine that's what your life's worth to somebody.
Right. So they think that what happened was he was trying to kill his wife, and then Arthur, like, stumbled upon the scene and was kind of like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
And then Julian was like, well, now I have to kill everyone. And so then he killed the whole family. And for whatever reason, I'm not sure why, but he left Terry Jo to just kind of, like, die at sea. Which is, like, I mean,
so fucked up.
Yeah, like, wow.
Like, a terrible way to die.
Terrible way. So that's kind of what they think was the motive of what exactly happened and why. Obviously, we can't confirm, but he is suspicious as fuck with his insurance fraud and his dead ex-wife.
It's consistently happening.
Yeah.
We're going to look into it.
100%. So, I don't know. What a dick. Basically, he decided to kill everyone. Luckily for Terry Jo, her aunt and uncle from Green Bay took her in and they raised her as their own. And when she was 12,
hopefully
she named her...
to be a Packers fan.
I don't know, maybe. When she was 12, she changed her name to just Terry, but she spelled it T-E-R-E, whereas before she had it spelled T-E-R-R-Y space J-O. So, I don't know, she just, like, changed it a little bit, tweaked it. She said she was so grateful to her aunt and uncle for taking her in the way that they did. And, like, and she said, you know, she always thought of them as mom and dad. Like, after that, that was her mom and dad. It wasn't aunt and uncle, it was mom and dad.
Aww.
So they really, like, loved her and, like, you know, tried to make her childhood
bearable,
as normal as possible after something so horrible.
That would turn you off from tropical stuff for a while, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's...
Green Bay is very cold, so that's why I'm trying to justify it.
Right. Well, it's actually funny that you say that because, you would think, you know, people survive stuff from the ocean and they're like, never going back. But she actually now works to protect the ocean and she does a lot of, like, conservative...
Oh,
kind of work where she's
working
to protect.
Well, she probably saw some weird shit that she's like, the ocean needs to be protected.
Yeah, and she kind of has this respect for the ocean. She says that she wants to protect the ocean because the ocean saved her.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, it's really sweet. Also, this was, like, kind of sad. So I had mentioned, like, she hadn't actually, like, seen her father dead. So she had always kind of, like, kept this hope in her heart that he was still alive.
Yeah.
And she would, like, check beaches and places in Florida and the Bahamas and just, like, she was always kind of, like, looking for him, hoping that maybe he had survived too and just, like, I don't know, maybe, like, started a new life or whatever, like, because maybe he was trying to protect the family, you know, like, whatever.
Just
it was like
you can justify that, like, dad survived,
like a little thread
he
of
just
hope.
Doesn't want to be found.
Exactly. But then she did say in the documentary that at 35 years old she finally just accepted that he was dead and kind of, like, allowed herself to not move on. I don't want to say move on because it's hard to
accept it.
Yeah, move on from grief. But, like, she kind of accepted that, like, she needed to stop looking for him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she was very, like, well-spoken in the documentary. And she was very much, like, she respects the ocean and she feels like the ocean kind of like spared her or like saved her. Yeah. So that's why she does her conservative work to protect the ocean.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the crazy survival story of Terry Jo Duperrault, aka the Orphan of the Sea.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So I was listening to something a few months back, mm-hmm. and I kind of heard part of the story.
Oh.
But I didn't hear the whole thing. So when you started telling this, I was like, please tell me it's that story that... But at this point, I couldn't go back. I was probably working, so I didn't really, like, hear what was happening.
Mm, yeah.
But I'm excited that I finally heard this story, because it's crazy.
It's super crazy. So we'll post... there is a picture of her that the... one of the crew members on the Greek freight ship took. He, like, snapped a picture of her. And it's kind of eerie. I mean, it's, like, black and white. And you can't really make out, like, a lot. But you can definitely tell it's, like, a little kid on a lifeboat. And it's just, like, creepy.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, couldn't imagine, like, seeing that, you know?
No. Well, because, like, my first thing would be, like, that child is not with us anymore.
Right. You know? Yeah. So we'll post the picture. And maybe a picture of when she's, like, older or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's, like, a well-adjusted human, and it's a terrible thing that happened to her, but it's just, like, a testament of, like, people, like, humans can go through so much and still...
And 11?
Yeah, that's and incredible. Still, like, lead a normal life for the most part, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So, it's crazy.
Well, that's... insane. I'm really glad what happened. I feel really sad that she was kind of like accepted like the inevitable with her dad, but at the same time it's like she had to at some point accept it. So
Check us out on Instagram. We're at Mysterious Mavens Pod, and then you can also email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
Check it. And we also have a TikTok too, so add that. We added a video of one of our stories, and Danae's listening to the song that kind of makes me laugh, so that's
Snake
really
Farm
funny. Snake Farm, but from 2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
And 2-3 weeks ago, depending on where we are. Just follow us on any of those. Message us. We want to hear from you. We can all be friends. And if you have any friends that you want to tell about us, please do.
Yeah. Please share and let us know if you're listening. It's nice to know when people listen. It's like a pleasant surprise when people are like, oh, yeah, I listened to that. And I'm like, what? Really?
I literally send it to Danae whenever we get something and vice versa.
So. Yeah.
All right. Well, take care of yourselves, everybody.
Self-care yourself.
Do
and
it.
We'll tell
Do
you
it.
More shit next week.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
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 Yeah,
oh, da-da. See you getting some booty scratches.
Booty scratches.